afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We have a very interesting show in store for you today. I have a guest calling in who's a very different kind of guest. Probably the first one of his kind. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you will like it too. Oh, we already got people hopping on the Facebook live stream. Katie, Gus. Oh, Gus, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you for a while. Mark, thank you for joining us. New friend I just made out in Oceanside. Jonathan, welcome. Welcome, one and all. I'm very pleased to have you here. And just remember, throughout the entire show, if you have any questions or comments, simply just put them into the comments field of the video. All right, so we're going to start off, as we always do, with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. About those dreams you have each night that you don't quite remember. Well, those are the ones in which you hold sway over the stars, possessing the keys to the entire universe, and in which all the angels sing your name in praise, the very same ones in which you summon legions to do your bidding, create worlds to play your games, and unflinchingly orchestrate challenges that are so intense you completely forget you're even dreaming. And you're having one right now. Now repeat after me, quote, I will remember I'm dreaming. I am perfectly safe and sound, and that rumble in the jungle is just me. Tally-ho, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Today, talking about our dreams, our dreaming, and kind of teasing us into remembering that life is but a dream, that it's all a dream. You know, when we go to bed at night and we go to sleep, we really enter into a different state of consciousness. It's one in which we have access to all of our unconscious abilities and ideas. And you know, we often, when we think about our dreams, and there are people who get dreams that are omens, dreams that are predictive, but we always try and figure out what are our dreams all about. And really, our dreams are all about us. Pretty much, if you look at your dream, if you look at everybody in your dreams, they are all just different representations of us, different aspects of us showing up in different ways for a myriad of reasons, for us to learn, for us to process the energy of the day, for us to, you know, work through things that we're thinking about. And the thing is, if we really listen to various spiritual teachers, if we listen to people who have really taught us about the nature of the universe, you know, we hear sort of the same thing over and over and over again. This universe is God dreaming. It's us dreaming. It's us, you know, it's all here for us to just play together and go through different experiences so that we can wake up to the fact that this is all a dream. It may not feel like a dream in the moment. It feels very real. But actually, we're all just actors on a stage. We're all the same way. Any character that shows up in your dream is really not that person. It's really you. It's really us and some aspect of us. Everyone who shows up in this universe is some aspect of God, is some aspect of the universe. And we are all just this infinite variety of experiences, all designed to wake up in a million different ways, in a billion different ways, all designed to wake up to the fact that we are all one, that you know, we are all one giant entity that's fragmented into billions and billions of different pieces, so that we could experience life and experience life in a billion different forms, in a billion different ways. We're not separate. We're not distinct. It feels like it. It seems like it. But really, when we look at the energy and we look at the fundamental aspect of what we are we particles or are we waves? We're usually both. We're energy. And as the first law of thermodynamics states, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It merely transforms state. So what are we? We're all a billion different forms of energy that have manifested in just different ways in this world. So the universe is just trying to get us to remember that we are all dreaming, every single one of us. And it's just waking up to the fact that this is a dream, and let's have some fun with our dream. All right, let's see what Abraham has. Another quote on dreams. Now, I swear to God, I did not cherry pick these quotes. You know, these are the actual quotes that came in my inbox this morning. So Abraham says, a dream is a manifestation, just like what you live is a manifestation. But a dream is quicker and easier to achieve and not so troublesome if there's something you don't want. Abraham. All right. So what is Abraham trying to say here? What is a dream? A dream is a vision of something we wish to manifest. And everything we live is something we manifest. Right? Our entire life is about manifestation. We're manifesting our relationships. We're manifesting our job, our career, our business. We manifest our health. We manifest our lives in a million different ways. We manifest it by the energy we hold, by the attitude we take, by what we focus on. We manifest it by the energy we hold. We manifest it by the choices that we make. So we manifest everything around us. And our dreams, what we dream about doing, being, they're visions for manifestation. Now, we may have a dream when we're 10 years old to be an astronaut, and then as we get older, that dream shifts and changes. All right, but that does not mean that the dream is not important, that the dream does not carry us in a certain direction. We are always free to change our dreams. But one of the really interesting thing about dreams is that when we hold our dreams in that pure energy that we have when they come to us, there is no resistance. There is nothing holding us back, and we can truly move in that direction so, so quickly. And as we grow and learn and experience life, we sometimes experience resistance because we start to think, oh my God, how can I do this? I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, this is impossible. How is this going to come about? And as we've talked about before, you know, Abraham always says that how is not our domain. We should not be worrying about the hows. We worry about the whats. We worry about the dreams. Not worry. Worry is a bad word. But that's where we place our focus. And by placing our focus on our dreams and not how we're going to get there, then the universe can bring all kinds of hows to us. Give you an example, right? Last week, the early part of the week, I was out in California, went out for this conference of this amazing organization called the Evolutionary Business Council. But I went out the weekend before, and I participated in a ceremony in Los Angeles on Saturday night, hung out with a great friend who used to be here on the East Coast, who I'm going to have on my show. When am I having her on? Either next month or December. And it was wonderful to reconnect with her and hang out and stay over. And then I go to meet up with a gentleman who I really met through Facebook. He actually commented during one of my videos, like what I'm doing right now. And I met up with him and his wife while they were here in New York City, and they're from LA. And he'd been to India, I don't know, dozens and dozens of times, and sat and studied with all these spiritual teachers there. And I come out to, and I figured, well, I'm going to be out there, have a little extra time. Why not meet up? I meet up with him, and it just blows me away. Not only is this guy who sells Ormus and all these spiritual essences and all these little things, he's a head of an HMO and has 120 people working for him. And I go to meet him in his office, and there's all these cubicles. I have no idea where I'm at. And he shows me around, and then he kind of tells me what it's all about. And he's still dressed the same way he was here, in a saffron-colored hat and scarf and white robes and all these necklaces and stuff. And he starts pulling out, as I'm sitting in his office surrounded by crystals and pictures and paintings of all these Indian masters, pulling out these Indian spiritual relics, you know, these things that you hold and like, oh, you can't believe the energy from it. And by the time we spent like 2 hours together, and by the time I left, I felt so elevated. I felt so not just supported, but just so blessed. And then I went down to this 2.5-day conference of these amazing thought leaders, conscious business thought leaders, getting tons of support. By the time I left California to come back here, I really felt like my life is a blessing in a way I've never really felt that before. And I knew that's what I wanted because, you know, over the last month or so, I'd been going through some hard times, and I really was looking to get past that energy. And it was just amazing. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just knew like going out there would be good for me, and I kind of had an idea of the things I wanted to do, but I didn't really know how it would affect me. I didn't really know how it would shift and change things for me. And everything happened so perfectly. The ceremony, being with my friend, meeting Ron, going down to this conference, it was all just so divinely timed and perfect. So I know, I truly know, I don't need to worry about the house. I leave that up to the universe. I leave that up to an intelligence that's far, far greater than mine. I'm just focusing on my dreams. I'm just focusing on the things that will really help me and give me that vision of what to manifest. So I hope you enjoyed this week's quotes of the day. I see we got a whole bunch of more viewers on the Facebook Live. Welcome, Joanne, Nicole, Denise. Nice to see you, Denise. Jeremy, Sanaya. Oh, Sanaya. Callie. Oh, wonderful, Callie. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Well, I hope you guys will stick around. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, hopefully my guest will be calling in from Brazil to talk about something I don't usually talk about. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Thank you. Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Okay, so we're still waiting for my guest to call in. He's calling in from Brazil, so you never know what may happen. So we'll keep going until he gets in today. I hope he remembers that today. I just talked to him on Monday. So welcome. I see. I have some more friends on the Facebook Live. Just want to remind people, please feel free to comment on the Facebook Live. Hi, Pat, the friend I met at the conference last week, off in England right now. And a dear friend, Sinai, who I know from college, Jesus, long time ago. So I wanted to talk about, my guest when he comes on, I'll introduce him as soon as he gets in the system and comes on, is actually a political activist from Brazil. Now, I don't really talk about politics that much, and I don't think I've ever had a guest come on my show who's a political activist, but I felt like he has something important and interesting to say, especially about what's going on in Brazil. And I just want to talk about sort of South America, Central and South America in general, because there is extreme upheaval happening. I don't know if you guys are paying attention or not. Nicaragua, Honduras, Venezuela, Brazil, the whole region is really going through some real turmoil, and people are taking to the streets protesting. Lots of people are leaving the countries because of the political unrest, because of just the way the economies are collapsing, and people are just having a hard time getting food and just being able to afford the basic necessities. And it's not just in South America. There are other countries across the world as well that this is happening. Now, this may not seem or feel like such a good thing, but what it is, and I really want to try and pull back and try and look at all this from the 50,000-foot perspective, is there's a huge displacement going on in general in society. And Alvin Toffler, in his book, The Third Wave, back in the late 70s or early 80s, we're talking like over 30 years ago, predicted this, because we are now shifting from the second wave, which is the wave of industrialization, the wave of factorization, the wave that came after the agrarian age, where everything was based on farming and farmland and sort of settling down in place. The industrial age is all about, creating machines and create mass producing things. And it was a very inhuman time, Alvin Toffler says. It was a time where we really beat up people to become like cogs in a factory. And our whole education system, our whole corporate structure, economic structure, I mean, everything that we have today originally comes from that time period, the second wave of industrialization. That's why, like in schools, a lot of things in schools is about learning by rote, mechanics, Newtonian physics, where things are discrete, hard particles, and a very linear progression. And the reason why I say it was a very inhumane time was because a lot of what was happening at the time was that as we were learning how to produce things in en masse, to create more things for people, to, and in a sense, you know, even raise the standards. I mean, if you can mass produce something that was beforehand made, you can make it cheaper, more people can afford it, people now have more comfort in their day-to-day life. But what happened is in an assembly line, the way it works is, you know, a piece comes by, you turn a screw in a certain direction, it goes past you, then the next person does the next thing, and the next person does the next thing, and the next person does the next thing. And that's how cars got built. That's how clothing got made. I mean, it's everything. However, people weren't used to this. People before that were basically artisans and farmers. Mm-hmm. Now, artisans and farmers are very creative people. Not only that, but they're used to doing things naturally. They're used to having to think on their feet, be very creative, and they figured out how to do things their own way. They didn't really follow a model. They didn't have to do everything the exact same way. So they would get into these factories and they were like, well, if I turn the screw that way instead of this way, I can do it better. And oh, if I turn it this way, I do that. And everybody was like trying to do things their own way. And it was very unproductive because an assembly line, then the next person can't do the way they were trained. And it was a big mess. And so I forget who it was, but there was somebody who was an educator and a thought leader at the time said, you know what? For this generation, it's too late to really train them how to be good factory workers. So we have to start with the next generation. We have to start with the schools. And that's when sort of this, you know, shut up, sit down, take notes, answer the questions I ask you. Don't ask questions that don't make sense. That's when, you know, this whole system developed, really designed to sort of beat the creativity out of the farmers, to beat the creativity out of the artisans, because what they needed at the time was not creative people. What they needed at the time were basically human robots. The other thing that's very characteristic of this time was this idea of scarcity, that there's only a limited amount of stuff. And if the other person has more stuff, I have less stuff. And we're right now, because of technology, because it's evolved so much, and because of the communication and the fact that we're so interconnected now, we're now in the middle of the next wave. And this next wave has been called everything from the information age to the connection economy to the internet age. I mean, we're kind of in the middle of it, so we don't really know what to call it, because you really need perspective to really be able to see what is the essence of that era, that epoch, that wave that we're going through. But what's happening now is because of this, because of technology, we're able to sort of stop being human robots, although the characteristic of it still follows through very much. We don't need the same kinds of schooling. We don't need the same kinds of system. We need a different system that allows us and encourages us to be more creative, because we're dealing with more complex problems than we ever have before. We are dealing with many, much different environment, much different situations. So now we're sort of evolving where quantum mechanics, this idea that things are not linear but exponential, that we are moving and changing and being more rapid and stuff. It's a whole new perspective in a whole new way, and it's causing upheaval because people are moving from the way things were before into a new way of being. And so I believe Rob, my trusty engineer, saying my guest is in. So now that I've sort of set that stage for you about all this disruption and change that's happening, let me introduce you to my guest, Louise Philippe de Orleans Bagranca. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Louise.
That is correct.
So Louise sort of began his career in the U.S. where he worked in the financial industry. He was part of financial planning companies. He was even in investment banking at J.P. Morgan and other international companies before he returned back to Brazil and became a director of business development for America Online. Wow, AOL. I didn't even know it was still around in the 2000s in Latin America. He became an entrepreneur, founded his own company, first in motorcycle parts distribution, and then he founded an incubator for payment processing for mobile platforms. But really what we're here to talk about is the fact that Luiz founded a liberal movement called Acorda Brasil in 2014, and he's become a real political activist in Brazil, and he's here to kind of enlighten us and educate us a little bit about what's going on in Brazil and why we should pay attention. So, Luiz, we only have a couple of minutes before we go to break, so why don't you just kind of set the stage for us, and then in the next segment we'll dig deep into it, okay?
Perfect. Thank you very much. Well, basically, in Brazil, we're going through election process this coming Sunday. The decision is to maintain the current status quo, which will lead us to a more autocratic system, or should we adapt, change, and improve on our democracy and make sure that we enter the 21st century? So that's basically the two candidates that represent the electoral process at this moment.
And you are actually involved in this election in some way?
Basically, yes. I'm also running for office down here. So we are putting forth a good proposal so that our political system and our economic system get out of the situation that we're in. We're being held hostage to many of the premises of a government that is all overreaching as far as intervention in our society, intervention in our economics. So basically we need to get rid of that those premises and introduce new premises so that we can restructure our former government.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Luiz, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about really what sort of led to the current situation in Brazil. And also I want you to give our audience just a little bit of context to, you know, what's going on around Brazil, like in Venezuela, the problems. I mean, this is what's happening in Brazil is really reflective of what's happening in South and Central America in general, right?
Correct. That is correct. It's a whole region wide problem.
Right. Okay. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Luiz Philippe, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Someone. Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Brazilian political activist Luiz Felipe. So, Luiz, how did things really get to be sort of such a mess, if I may characterize it that way, in Brazil?
Yes. Basically, we suffer from a structural problem, which is common in region-wide. Mexico through all the way down to Argentina and Chile were organized as presidential systems, and we only have three powers, which is the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary branches. So,
right.
Which differs the Latin American presidentialism is not the same as the U.S. president, the presidentialism that you see in the United States, where the United States federal government is very limited. It has many checks and balances that are horizontal between the three powers that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
but it also has a horizontal limitation, which is federalism, which is a very decentralized form of government. So, in effect, the U.S. system does not really, the U.S. federal government does not govern individual states.
Right.
Whereas, the presidential system in Latin America, it gives a lot of power to the president, and he is both the president-elect, is both the chief of state and also the chief of government. Mm. So the president-elect in many of these countries end up governing the whole country. So it's a country-wide governor. And Brazil, to that matter, and it's a very diversified country. It's a huge country. It's a very large population, very diversified economy. It's very hard for you to, it's not very hard, but it's actually impossible for you to actually govern the whole country from a central location. Central planning on a country that is, with our diversity, is just bound to not be successful. So that is basically the culprit as far as organizations concerned, and it yields the Latin American presidential system has a lot of concentration on judicial power and the money power as far as budget is concerned in the hands of the president. So it's very unstable. So every 4 years you elect a tyrant that can do whatever. He can overrun the constitution. So the rule of law is not really observed, and oligarchies take over. All these interest groups, they love a presidential system because they can affect their influence on a small group of people, and with that they control a large budget, and having effective control over the whole territory, there's very little checks and balances from the organizational standpoint, and it's organized so that the president actually has a lot of power to govern. So that is one of the culprits of the mess that we live in. It's a cyclical mess, and we need to change that in order to become a more stable country.
So because the power is so concentrated really into one position, it's vastly open to corruption, and as you said, there's not really the checks and balances, so it's hard to get justice, it's hard to really create reform, because it's not really in the person's interest who's the elected president to have reform, because they're enjoying having all that power. So what can people do in Brazil or in that part of the world to try and move things in a way that at least to create some more checks and balances or move in the direction that would help, that would at least create an environment that's a little bit less open to corruption?
Yes, well, the political activism aspect of how people can get engaged has been growing exponentially over the past 4 years. And my function, as far as a political activist, is to address these key organizational issues that are nonpartisan issues, which reflect on basically our organizational structure. And once we get more activism involved in these types of discussions, we're capable of actually electing people that will represent these structural changes. So far, I would say that we have made a lot of progress on that, yet we're still a little bit far from making these issues popular enough so that people, we have a critical mass that is enough so that we can affect a political change on a structural level. Right. So far, yes, the political system has been still working on a partisan basis. So there's a shift against those that are pro-system, pro the current system, more for those that are against or newcomers coming into the system right now. So that's basically the shift. Yet, there's very little depth of perception as to what is being represented by these new people coming in. So that I think that's the second step. No, so the first step is the activism.
Right.
The second step is having political power to affect change, and let's make sure that the right ideas are the ones that are being affecting the change right now.
Right. Yeah, because you can have change, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's change in the right direction.
Correct.
So how, I'm not that familiar with just how things work in South America, but like, how do people learn about, new political ideas and activism? Like how is most of the information disseminated? Is it through TV? Is it now social media? How are things really, how do ideas spread in Brazil?
Yeah, that's one of the other issues that we have, is because of this organizational structure, the state has assumed a lot of intervention in many of the media channels. So not direct, but indirect. So it's capable of financing media companies. It's capable of even giving out revenue streams to some of these media companies as a function of governmental contracts. So the media is not really free in Brazil. Most of the large media companies in Brazil are affected by the state, are there to protect the agenda of the state and the agenda of all these oligarchies that maintain and control the state. So there's an issue there that it's not going to come from the big media companies. Yet we have a very vibrant social media activism that has been growing exponentially, and at the same time that it has been growing, many of the state representatives are working with large social media companies in order to address some sort of censorship to this new political activism that has been brewing in Brazil. So we'll figure out what is the next level as far as where the path of least resistance for our communications, the one that we will address. And so far, social media has still censorship has been increasing on social media, yet it's still the freest and the most least resistant path as far as making sure that the activism gets through.
Gotcha.
So we're working through that. So even our presidential candidate, leading presidential candidate, is, he is basically growing is only because of the social media. He's not been growing in political intent because the big media companies are all against him. So that's what's going on. And I think it's going to be this case until some effect is going to take place on a governmental level.
Right. Now, you're in Sao Paulo, which is is Sao Paulo, I know it's the capital, but is it also a province or is it just a city?
There's the city of Sao Paulo, which is the largest city in the southern hemisphere, mm-hmm. and there's a state of Sao Paulo, which encompasses the city of Sao Paulo. So, yeah, it's a very affluent state, and the city is a megalopolis. It's over 20 million people, so it's a very diversified political area, and at the same time, very rich and influential on the whole country. Mm-hmm. So it brews a lot of these activist groups. Many of them are from Sao Paulo. So there's some sort of a pro-business view on how to organize Brazil and how to organize a future government that comes from Sao Paulo. So that has been the mantra.
Right, gotcha. And there was now you were running as a vice president with somebody else from Sao Paulo who's running for president, and there was a little incident, and we have about 3 minutes left before our next break, so why don't you just briefly talk about what happened?
Well, there was an issue of the selection of a vice president for the current running candidate, leading candidate, and the political base of the leading candidate asked for me to join as a vice president. Mm-hmm. Yet there hasn't been, because I don't know him on a personal level, and it's a very important position to be a vice president. You know, it did not come to fruition. Mm-hmm. However, it was, you know, there were good intent as to accepting me and as a running mate. So we did not become the leading ballot. And I'm going to be running for office independently from within the same party, yet for the state of Sao Paulo as a state representative and not as a vice president. So that's what's going on. And unfortunately, this leading candidate soon afterwards had an attempt on his life. But thankfully, he's doing well right now. So he's back in the running scenario.
Good. Okay, we're going to go to break in just a minute. Tell me, how do you see things unfolding in Brazil now? Like, what would you like to see? How do you feel, like, what is the shift happening in Brazil now compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago?
The shift is a very important shift for a pro-market, pro-business candidacy. We also need less government intervention and less regulation in order for Brazil to become a leading economic nation again. So that it's one that's on the ballot. The other proposal from the opposition, which represents the government forces, they basically want to maintain a lot of government intervention, even increase it, increase social programs, increase socialism in Brazil. And that is not the way to go, especially regarding that over the past 3 years, we had a tremendous recession and a collapse of our social welfare state system. So, and it's due to all these socialistic policies. So we have a fork in the road, and, you know, we need to address the right one for the situation. And that's what's going on right now. So that's what we need.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. All right. We're going to take our last break of the show. And when we come back, I would just like to talk about sort of what you learned from the U.S. that you're trying to bring to Brazil and what we can learn from what's going on in Brazil to help us maybe in the U.S. Okay.
Perfect.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest is Luiz Felipe, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The
best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this live every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern Time to 1 p.m. Today, we've been speaking with Louise Philippe, from a political activist from Brazil. So, Louise, you spent a lot of time in the United States in education and career and then came back to Brazil. What did you learn from the United States in your time here that you brought back with you to Brazil?
Well, yes. Basically, the U.S. is a fabulous structure. It's a very stable regime, and because of the stability, it is capable of making sure that the families and the communities, they enrich themselves, they create wealth on their own. At the same time, it's because of stability. It's a long term. There's very little risk of future government intervention in the wealth that was created. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest learning experiences. The wealth that was generated 100 years ago, even more, is greater now. And so that is one of the functions of a non-interventionist government, and the government that lets the communities free to accumulate and to auto-govern themselves. And that is probably the biggest stabilizing factor in the governmental system of the United States. So that is a function of having a liberal constitution. Whereas many countries in the 20th century, they fell victim to a new fad of the social state. And the social, many countries altered their constitution in order to address more governmental, give the government more power to affect change via regulation, to affect change and to lead economic development instead of having society leading the economic development. So it's exactly during this shift, many countries that adopted a social state, they basically went bankrupt a lot more frequently and created a lot more instability, especially the laws, you know, they change according to government intervention and government needs. So once you create that judicial instability, it's very hard for you to accumulate wealth over a long period of time, and it's very hard for you to become an investment grade country over a long period, especially because at any given election period, You know, your laws may change and your property rights may change.
Right,
so
right.
That is not conducive to a wealthy and stable society. And Brazil fell victim to this fad, this 20th century fad of addressing and becoming a social state. So it changed its constitution 6 times over the past,
wow.
during the 20th century, which is obviously if you say, oh yeah, 6 times is a lot, and it's definitely whereas the United States has only one constitution, maybe the other European countries may have changed once or twice their constitutions. You know, for Brazil to change 6 times during the 20th century, it attests to the fact that the constitution was not stable enough over a long period of time. So that's one of the biggest issues that we have, and we need to have a more stable, simpler constitution that, you know, provides for liberties, for social liberties on a very local level. And at the federal level, it's very limited as far as what they can do on the national scale as far as governing the country is concerned. You know, the federal government should be only responsible for sovereignty and issues that regard, you know, overseas and stability of the currency and so forth. So nothing regarding really political, social policies or interventionist policies whatsoever in the country. So that's what we need to get rid of, and that's what's at stake at this coming elections.
Mm-hmm.
We're witnessing the bankruptcy of another social state, our sixth social state that was created in 1988 with the 1988 Constitution.
Mm. Wow.
Is already in the collapse. So that's what we need to address. We need to get out of this social state mode.
Right. So it sounds like in the United States, we call this a very libertarian model. We have a show on the network by a friend of mine. His name's Larry Sharp, who's running for governor of New York State, who comes from the libertarian perspective. And he is really talks all the time about localizing government, decentralizing government, putting more power into the hands of the local communities to decide how they want, how they believe they should be governed, because somebody from the southern part of the state doesn't necessarily know the best solution for how things should work in the northern part of the state, as an example. So it sounds like you also sort of believe that, you know, the more decentralized and the more localized government is, the better it is, not just for the local communities, but for the country overall.
Exactly, and I think that is one of the key issues, because I think the U.S. system was born on a decentralized manner. The states were independent, and then they organized themselves into a federal government, whereas Brazil was organized centrally.
Right.
It was very good in the beginning of the 19th century, throughout the 19th century, because it was still unstable. Unstable regimes were existent all around Brazil. You know, the formation of Latin America was a little bit, there were some conflicts there. So becoming a centralized regime gave us, you know, a lot of protection in the beginning. But now that we're, you know, past the 20th century, we see that the centralized form of government does not allow for, you know, the communities to act freely, the community to auto-govern themselves. It basically became a platform for oligarchies to take over the central government and to entrench themselves into this body of laws that is construed to protect them and not really to represent the individual local governments, local communities. So yes, we're living in certain ways a dictatorial system, mm-hmm. that is not really personified in any one person. It's basically a system that controls everything, and the system has to be decentralized in order for us to become a first world country. We know, mm-hmm. economically we're not moving forward because
right.
we're incapable of addressing all of our opportunities that exists throughout our immense country.
Mm.
So that's one of the biggest I think the biggest lessons here as far as contrasting both countries. Right. And they both have very similar in other aspects. You know, they're huge countries, have a lot of resources. Yeah. There's a lot of population, and population is the people in Brazil are very keen into property rights and very keen into manufacturing and producing wealth. So, okay. But they're not being able to do that because of the central government and regulations from the central government. So that's one of the biggest messages here for maybe the American people that are listening to this broadcast.
Okay. Well, Dan, we only have like a couple of minutes left. Luis, if people want to learn more about you, get in touch, support, how can they find more information? How can they find you?
I'm in. I'm basically pretty active on the social media, so Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter account is LP Braganca. It's my last name, LP Braganca BR. That's my Twitter account, and my full name in Portuguese, Luis Felipe Orleans Braganza. You'll reach me on Facebook. So maybe I can send you those spelled out right.
so
they won't get it wrong.
Is there any kind of website?
I also have a book that will be translated into English as well.
Wonderful. Is there any kind of website people can go to?
My website is lpbraganca.com.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. We'll post that in the Facebook Live. So unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. Thank you, Luis, for taking the time to come on the show today. I appreciate it. As I said, you're kind of a unique guest for me talking about sort of the political awakening in South America. I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I wish you much success, and I hope we can help to spread that word for you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the time and having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And just before we sign off, a quick shout out to our Facebook Live viewers, Himelda, Chuck, Fatima, Anna, Danny, Cole, Suzanne. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you learned something, got inspired about something, made you think a little bit, I hope you enjoyed it. So thank you all for tuning in. Coming up next, it's Poker Divas with Ellen Lincoln, followed by our Daily Magic with Kai Cole. And we will be back with you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, are you interested in blockchain technologies and cryptocurrencies? Then tune in here on talkradio.nyc with me, David, every Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time, as we answer your questions and interview great guests live on Internet Radio on Building the Blockchain, where you can catch the blockchain revolution.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.